Hello, everyone. It is Hing here. Thank you to everyone who's been sending me nice messages regarding my recent low-level mental breakdown that we talked about in the most recent episode. I'm doing much better now. So thank you for that. Yeah, I'm on the mend. Ben couldn't make this record this week, but we'd already booked in time with the very funny Daniel Walker. And so our beloved friend, who you know and love, Tom Walker, no relation, jumped on instead of Ben. We recorded this on Tuesday morning, but it is Saturday evening now, and I've only just got around to finishing the edit. So if you're hearing this, as soon as it comes out, one thing we wanted to let you know about is that Demi Lardner is digging a big hole, and she's going to bury Tom Walker in it. And I know that sounds like something I should be calling the police over, but it's actually some live-streamed content that will be happening on Demi's Twitch stream from Sunday the 6th of June at midday Australian Eastern Standard Time. For overseas listeners, that is Saturday 10 p.m. in Boston, Sunday 2 a.m. in the UK, and 7 p.m. Saturday in Los Angeles. I know it's confusing. Anyway, tune in because Ben and I are going to be coming by very early on, probably about 12:30 or so. And we're going to do like an hour of chat about the big hole and about Tom and Demi and, you know, just about everything that's going on. If you missed that, we'll probably put it on that bit of the audio on Patreon later. Also, if you live in Sydney, I'm doing a heap of TV tapings in the next few months. The first one is for Alex Lee's new show. It's called Win the Week. It's very, very funny. I'm doing a pilot episode with them on Tuesday, the 8th of June. So DM me on Instagram at Hingers if you'd like to come along to that. It'll be completely free. It's at the ABC Tuesday night. I can't remember the exact time, but it'll be crazy because it's a pilot. All right. Please keep sending us classifieds. We're in the process of remaking our website, but for now, Facebook is the easy way to do that. If you've just started listening to our podcast and you like it, please go and give us a 5-star rating on your podcast app. Maybe leave a little review, you know. It's honestly the most helpful thing anyone can do to let people know about our fucking stupid show about cum that, you know, is the best thing that we love doing. This new episode does talk a lot about dead animals. I should say that. But also, it is very funny. I hope you're all well, and thank you again for those kind messages. Hello, everyone, and welcome to what remains the internet's premier funny podcast. My name is Michael Hing, and joining me today is not Ben Jenkins, the vagabond, the pedophile, the disgusting
Michael,
man that he
Michael.
Is.
Michael.
What? No good? No
Michael,
good? Not a fun bit?
Michael.
Not a fun bit?
Is that
a good
like
way
it.
To start the show, guys?
It's a great way to start the show. I just wanted to make sure you knew you were doing it. Because usually
anyway,
when someone's doing that, you like need to, I don't know, slap them about the face, bring them back to themselves. But I'm sorry, it's rude to talk before you're introduced on a podcast. Please go back to referring to your absent co-host as a pedophile.
This is crook. Anyway, Tom Walker is here. Hello, Tom. And also joining us, our second guest host for today. She previously declared that she couldn't read, or maybe she could read, I can't remember. You would know her as a plant detective and a stand-up comedian in her own right. Danielle Walker. Hello, Danielle.
No, I think you and Ben Jenkins declared I couldn't read, and I vehemently denied that accusation.
Well, I've yet to see you read with my own two eyes. Anyway, how are you, Tom? How are you? Have you had a good week?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Demi, my girlfriend Demi, is out of town. She's doing the run of gigs up the Gold Coast, which always, I think every comedian in Sydney and kind of Melbourne knows the gigs. They're run by a guy called Josh Armstrong. And I think they provoke a visceral reaction in you when you remember that they exist.
I love them. Yeah. I genuinely love those gigs. They're some of my favorite gigs. The joy
really?
I get from going to the Gold Coast.
It's really fun.
It's my favorite time.
It's like stepping into a weird little video game world where nothing matters and anything can happen. Like it's when it's when you turn on the riot mode in GTA and you're just like, I don't know.
Wait, so I've never actually done these gigs. I've just heard crazy stories about this. Is for people who aren't very specific Sydney-based comedians who are listening to this podcast. It's a run of gigs. You fly out of state to do them.
Okay, no, sorry,
to a
I'll
place
take over
the Gold
here,
Coast.
Michael. For anyone who's not a very specific Sydney-based comedian listening to this podcast, turn it off. It's not for you.
The Gold Coast is sort of like Australia's Florida, is basically how I describe it. Mm. Or it's kind of like, it's a place where a lot of old people go to retire. It's also like a wild place where you hear a lot of like crazy stories. But Danielle, as a Queenslander, when you go to the Gold Coast, do you sense a camaraderie with the patrons there, or do they immediately judge you and throw you out of town?
I feel like they sense that I'm one of them, and immediately there's a kinship that's formed, and it's like they're sitting there just cheering me on. I really enjoy the Gold Coast gigs.
So you crush on the Gold Coast.
Crush, I love it. It's my favourite run of gigs in all of Australia. People often go, can't wait to get the gala. And I'm like, I don't know, I'd love to go do Josh's gigs again.
Yeah, I can't wait to crush at the Dog and Parrot.
Because don't you stay with the, like, you fly to do his gigs and then you live with him for a week? Isn't that kind of how it works?
Yeah, I also, there's something about that that I find quite funny too. I just find that there's like one room where there's a painting in the room that one of Josh's ex-girlfriends have done where he's like, he's having sex with the lady. It's a small, it's like this, it's like an A4 painting that she's done that's just in the middle of a blank
wall.
Yeah,
the way Josh lives is very funny because he's got, like, he's up in the Gold Coast where property, I guess, doesn't cost much and he's renting or whatever. But so he's just been able, whenever you go to his place, you're like, oh, fuck, this is the space of a guy who's got the Dexies and the will to take up as many hobbies as he cares to. And so you're picking your way over like the big TV and the electric drum set and over to
the
souped up little, oh, the fucking shisha that he's got hooked up next to the couch. You should do the gig sing. It's really fun.
All right, I'll add it to the list of career milestones I'm yet to achieve.
I saw a lady when I was up there last time I did it, and she one of the biggest crushes I've ever seen. And she was an older woman. Maybe you'll know her, Danielle. She was a lady with a strong, strong tan and a British accent, who absolutely destroyed, but was just doing the filthiest gear I have ever heard in my life.
That could have been a number of women.
Okay, so the specific bit I'm thinking about was when she was like, you know, when you get your pube in your mouth, ladies, back in my day, I don't know, everyone makes a big deal of it now, back in my day, you just use the cock to shove it down. And just an entire room full of people. It's the closest I've seen to a mid-set standing ovation.
I think I might be Facebook friends with her.
Mm.
Or a similar woman who I did a gig with maybe 10 years ago in Queensland, in Brisbane or something. And I've, without naming them, they have gone down a very rapid pro-Trump anti-vax.
Yes. Like, no, yeah. Okay. And again, this could be one of many women in Queensland, but I do believe that this is at least the same kind of woman. Yeah.
Yeah, because I saw someone crush really hard being like, wow, they're really funny. They added me as a friend on Facebook, and then like the next day they were being like, there are too many Chinese people in Australia buying the property. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Josh was saying that he's like, yeah, she's an absolute crusher, but you've got to, like, every few days I just, you know, check her profile and message her just to be like, hey, just so you know, that's not real. And she's like, all right, I don't know anything. Whatever.
Wow. And also, Tom, I believe, are we allowed to talk about the thing that's happening on Sunday? Or is that not public yet?
No, we can talk about that.
Mm. And, well, that's the, no, Tom, I don't know if you know about this, Danielle. On Sunday, Demi Lardner, who you'd know as a comedian and also Tom Walker's life partner and housemate,
yes,
is going to be digging a big hole live on Twitch and burying Tom Walker in a hole. Tom,
you're,
how do you feel about
big,
this?
Big Tom. Is,
yeah, he's very...
Do you think she'll be able to dig a big enough hole over the course of a day?
So here's the thing. I don't want to ever impugn what Demi thinks of herself. I think she is overestimating how easy it is to dig a hole. I think she will. I believe that I will become involved in digging the hole. She keeps saying that she will be able to dig the hole. I don't think she'll be able to dig the hole.
So you think you're going to have to dig your own hole,
yeah,
/ grave?
Well,
can I ask where the hole is being dug?
Yes, it's in the garden of friends of her manager's.
Okay, so yeah, so it just in compact dirt.
In a house.
In like soil. That's going to be quite hard. Is she going to drench the soil in water first to try and soften it? Or
these four
how do you
questions...
know so much about digging graves, Danielle? How
Listen,
do you...
my granddad's dug his own grave. We've dug plenty of graves for the dogs over the years.
Okay, and I would love to back up to ask about the granddad thing. Was this a thing where dad decided that granddad had had enough life?
No,
were you holding a gun on
grave.
Granddad? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Why did he dig his own grave? Where does he? Wait, he just went to the cemetery and was like, "Step aside, amateurs! I know how to dig a grave."
No, he's dug it on his own property because he doesn't want to. He wants to be buried on his own property. Apparently, the council have said that that's not allowed. But Granddad has just said we're not allowed to tell anybody if he dies. We're just supposed to put him into the hole.
To tell anyone if he dies. Look. It's like a Pentagon level secret that that Danielle's granddad dies. No one's allowed to know.
He wants to be on his property. What's so wrong with that?
I guess is his property like a farm, or is his property like just a quarter acre block in the middle of Queensland?
It's actually a flat. No, weirdly, it's a cute little flat. It's kind of
he wants
similar...
to be buried in his freezer.
No, he's got 26 acres and. There's a area within the bush that is where we've buried all the dogs over the years, which is where he's dug the grave for himself.
Sure. When archaeologists find this, they're going to think that about 15 dogs. They're going to think that 15 dogs ate a poisoned man and all died. That's what they're going to think happened.
Fuck, he took him down with a fight. Oh, maybe you want to bite him a few times before you put him in the ground just to really make
There's going to be so many dead dogs and human remains there. They're going to think it was. They're going to assume it was a tar pit. They're going to be like, there must have been quicksand or a tar pit that made all these animals meet their end.
Yeah, there has been quite a few dogs that have died because my Uncle Peter's dog, Wally, he kept having litters of puppies with... another dog of his, which was previously called Candy, that when she got older, we started to call her Grandma. And she had like heaps of litters of puppies. There was a point where my Nana and Granddad had like 40 dogs, but because they were sort of inbred,
so many
they kept
dogs!
Dying. And then,
40
yeah.
dogs! For listeners, Danielle is part of... Danielle is from one of the most lawless places in Australia. Like regional Queensland is like you're kind of which you're from like the north end, right? The top bit.
Me, yeah.
Yeah, no one up there to tell you how many dogs is right.
No, you got acreage. You can have as many dogs as you want. I think is the rule. That's definitely not the rule, but you know, you can't tell people that.
You can't tell a man who digs his own grave how many dogs he can have. What are you insane?
No, he might dig another one.
Well, actually, speaking of animals dying, I wanted to start off today by reading out some funny text on the internet that's been submitted by Kwong Lee. Thank you, Kwong. So just to run you through it, this is comments from a TikTok that was posted by Semily X, right? So the TikTok was just one of those videos that asked a question, and then a bunch of people are answering the question. But this is so the original TikTok just asked, "Please tell me how your hamsters died, because these bitches die from anything," right? So Kwong sent a bunch of screenshots in. I've just picked out a couple of different reasons that people's hamsters died, and I'm going to read them out to you guys, and feel free to stop me at any time, but there are 21 reasons I've picked out that are pretty funny. All right, for example, "I popped a balloon and it had a heart attack." That's a reason a hamster could die. "I sneezed 2 meters away from him and I think he had a heart attack." Okay, there's a theme there. "Parents left me alone, so I let my hamster free in my living room. Why did he run straight into the fireplace? I watched Titanic to feel better." Another person, my hamster died in 3 days and the lady at the PetSmart told us it was wet tail, which means diarrhea. He shat himself to death. There's another one. "My hamster got out, chewed some wires behind our TV and got shocked to death. He was fried when we found him. Mine had a seizure when I was 5 and me and my brother thought he was giving us a dance show."
Oh, my God.
I think number 7 is one of my favourite ones. "One of my books fell on him."
I mean, the...
My hamster... Oh, sorry, yes,
no,
Tom?
I was just going to say, one of my books fell on him is the first one that's kind of had a cartoonish distance to it, where you're like, oh,
yeah,
this would result in a funny little image. And then you remember that that probably squished some stuff out the side of the hamster, and you're like, oh...
Well, the other problem with I think what they don't tell you about that one is there's another hamster, the sort of a Wile E. Coyote hamster that pushed the book onto the, this. My hamster disappeared for months, then came out from behind the fridge, missing hair. It looked up at me and just died. Another one. Oh. It sneezed so hard it died. Number 10. My mum vacuumed it. Number 11, mine drowned in the dog bowl and just floated there. Another reason our hamster died. He fell down the stairs in a hamster ball. He was a runner. He was a track star.
oh, my God.
Number 13, it own fart scared him and died. It own fart scared him and died. He just started... Another one. He just started running so fast that he died. This is another one I think that might speak to you, Tom. My dad fed it too many Doritos, then it died on Canada Day.
All right, now I'm just trying to take that in a compliment. I'm fucking dislocating my own brain. Bending over backwards.
I think you'd appreciate overfeeding a hamster Doritos so it dies, surely. No? Okay, what about... Try this one on for size then. I was riding my bike... Then it fell out my pocket and my back wheel ran over it.
Oh.
It's pretty grim. Another person stepped on it while walking to the bathroom. my friend's hamster got super cold and didn't move, so they tried baking him.
Okay, well, that one was already dead, and then you tried to do the worst resuscitation I've ever heard, I think. There's the problem.
They did that in 101 Dalmatians, though, didn't they? Did they put the dog in the oven for a bit to warm it up? Or is that a
did
memory
they?
I have? Maybe it
in a movie. Is this the movie or the movie or the cartoon?
In my mind, in the cartoon, they heated it up in the oven. But maybe that is like one of those like Mandela effect things, and I think that that's what happened.
Yeah, remember how the South African government put Nelson Mandela in that oven for all those years?
I'm starting to realise why there are so many dead dogs on Danielle's property.
Oh, you can't fit them in the oven, Hing.
Only the puppies. Only the puppies. Mine jumped into the frying pan when Mum was making crepes and died of heat stroke, I suppose.
Died of heat stroke? Number 20. It was cooked. You get heat stroke when you go outside without a hat. That's not heat stroke. It died because it jumped into the frying pan. It didn't even get to the fire.
What about this one? Sister threw it at wall.
Oh my God.
That's awful. And the final one, my friend's hamster stuck its head between bars and hung himself. These are all reasons people's hamsters died. Again, thank you, Kwong Lee, for sending them through.
Oh my God.
Danielle, have you ever had a hamster?
No, I don't think. Do we have them in Australia? I don't know. There's a lot of things that are illegal in Queensland. Like rabbits are illegal.
Right.
I assume.
I think you can have gerbils and hamsters. I think they've got to be caged and stuff in Australia, I think.
We're not a big rodent family.
Right, big dog family, obviously.
Big dog family. We had a bird for a bit, but that... We had a bird for a day, and then it... Mum told me it got sleeping bird disease, and now I assume that that's actually not a thing, and the bird just died or something happened. But, like, we had this perfect bird for a day.
Sleeping bird disease. Have you ever bothered to fact check it?
Yeah, I'm Googling sleeping bird disease right now.
We had this, like...
Does it exist?
Oh, nothing's coming up. Let's put some quotation marks around that bad boy to see if that specific phrase exists or has ever existed. No results found for sleeping bird disease.
Yeah, this is only one that recently I've realised Mum probably lied to me about.
Yeah, she probably lied when she told you the bird was sick of dying a peaceful death.
Yeah.
Yeah, as she emptied it out of the frying pan. Danielle, so what, you've had birds, you've had many dogs in your family.
Yes.
Do you have a favourite pet of all time?
My dog Sarge. He was like my boy. You know, he would like give me a kiss in the mornings and wake me up by
That's
jumping up onto my window and waking me up by banging on the window. He was pretty good.
Why'd you call him Sarge? Did you choose that name?
No, my dad chose that name because I got to name my first dog. His name was Andre, after Andre the Seal. And then we got Duke the day my mum found out she was pregnant with the twins and my sisters. Mm-hmm. And then I have the same birthday as him. And then my dad took like 2 weeks to name him Duke, and then we got Sarge, and dad decided to stick with the army theme and call him Sarge.
Right.
So that's the entire story behind all my dog's names. So
okay. It's just like that your dog was a commissioned officer.
Yeah.
That's kind of nice.
He was a German shepherd, so you know, he was in the army.
Tom, you seem like someone who's I guess failed a lot of animals in his time.
No.
Because didn't you have dogs growing up that I think were you telling me that you had a dog growing up that every time it sneezed, its eyeballs would pop out?
No, that's a risk with pugs. But my parents had British bulldogs who are just kind of like they're like, you know how sometimes you'll buy like, I don't know, a meat pie or a sausage roll and it'll just already be deteriorating and you're like, fuck, I gotta like see to this now. That's how a British bulldog works. They're made to die. Like they're born dead.
Right.
And you're just living in their glory.
And the challenge is to keep them alive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, so you're just fighting nature the whole time.
Yeah, you're putting food in it, and you're like, what's the point of this? And it's looking up at you with its fucked up little face, being like, I don't know.
Did you have any non-traditional pets? Like, did you ever have fish or lizards or anything? Like, stuff that wasn't just a dog or a cat?
I had an axolotl for, like, a month. And then it died, and I remember looking down at the axolotl and being like, I don't know you well enough to be actually sad, but I guess I'll stop what I'm doing.
You'll do some performative sadness for the axolotl community and anyone looking on.
Well, it was like, am I sad? Like, I didn't get to know the part of you that dwells in water. I didn't get to know the part of you that dwells on land. I don't know what you had to offer me. I don't know. Have you guys ever had an axolotl? You know what an axolotl is,
just
right?
I wanted an axolotl, but I never got. I got a Siamese fighting fish, and I had him.
Are they different? I always assumed they were the same.
Axolotl has legs.
No, they're very different.
Oh, okay. Hang on.
The Siamese fighting fish is a beautiful, colourful fish. Well, it's a male that's got the colours and the big tail.
Axolotls. Right. Okay. Yeah. Axolotls are the cutest animal in the world.
Yeah, they're little freaks.
Right. Do fighting fish actually fight?
If you put two of the boys in together, yeah, they will fight.
Wow.
And
did you ever? Did you have two and did you make them fight, Danielle?
Of course not. I'm not a psycho. I had Fiero and I loved Fiero.
You called him Fiero?
Yeah, I was really into Wicked, the musical at the time. I was like 14. And then when Fiero died after 2 years, I was so sad, and I like carried him out to the bench in his bowl, and I was like, Mum, Fiero's dead. And then I went out to tell Dad, and I left him on the bench, and then I came back in, and Mum had taken him out of the bowl and thrown him in the bin, and then I cracked the shits big time. And I was like, you put Fiero in the bin! In the bin! How could you do that? And then I picked him up out of the bin and went and buried him in the creek.
Oh. Yeah, you took him to your other bin down the creek.
Yeah.
You didn't bury him with the dogs in Grandpa's grave or anything?
Oh, my God, Hing. He wasn't an animal of the land.
He's an animal of the water. Yeah.
Oh, so you need to... So, right, okay. He has to have a sea burial. Yes. Like Osama bin Laden. I understand. I understand, Danielle.
Exactly.
Mm.
Oh, man. The other reason I wanted to talk about this is because I, growing up, had a lizard. We had a blue-tongued lizard we didn't really have it. It just lived in our backyard. It just kind of hung around in our backyard, and we'd leave out little bits of chicken and stuff for it and whatever else, like little bits of meat and stuff. This is when I was like, I reckon I was like 4 or 5. This is when we were living in Illawong. And we just loved this lizard. His name was Bluey. He was maybe like, I don't know, 40 centimetres long. He's quite big for a lizard. And he'd just come out and hang out in our backyard. And he'd sun himself on the rocks. My brother and I used to go hang out with him and stuff. Loved him so much. And then one day, one morning we came out, and I remember him, he'd been mauled. He'd been basically been killed by a cat, right? And the only cat in the neighbourhood was our next door neighbor's cat, right? And so I became, like, I reckon psychotically convinced this cat was a fucking murderer and needed to be punished, and like as a result there the whole house next door was evil and these fucking lizard killers, what a bunch of fucking
did you murder a cat?
Yeah, I did a full Malcolm Turnbull and just kicked a cat. No. I became convinced that this cat and this family fucking hated our lizard. I was like 5 and I just hated this cat and hated the family next door. Every time I saw their car coming out their driveway, I'd give them the finger from inside our house. Like stuff like real cool stuff like that a 5-year-old would do. I became obsessed with this fucking family because I thought they killed my lizard. And then I reckon like 6 months later, maybe it was like, I can't remember. It's all blurry, but like, soon after that, their cat died, and I remember talking to the girl who lived next door, and she was saying that her cat died, and I remember being filled with joy that her cat had died because I thought it was like cosmic justice. I was like, yeah, you see what fucking happens? You see what fucking now? I know it sounds like I killed the cat. I want to make it very clear I did not kill the cat. The cat died of sleeping cat disease or whatever. I remember she told her parents that I was really happy that the cat died, and then they told my parents, and I got in trouble for being happy that the cat died. And then I honestly, in retrospect, like defended myself like a real ladies and gentlemen of the jury with my parents. I was like, don't you understand? The whole system's crazy. I'm not wrong here. The cat died and I was happy because the cat killed the lizard. The cat killed Bluey. Anyway, I'm looking at both of your eyes now and seeing that maybe I've uncovered some things in my past that maybe are just too disturbing to reveal on a podcast.
I think the two things that are so scary there are, I mean, for one, all of it, but also, I don't know about you, Danielle, but to me, remembering that much of being 5 years old is inhuman.
I love the idea of a psychotic 5-year-old Hing. I kind of wish more of that had stuck around.
Oh, we all love little Stewie Griffin Hing.
I think this is one of those memories that like I've stewed on a lot and thought about a lot. So I've probably filled in some gaps. You know what I mean? Mm. You know how like you have, I it's a thing that my parents, it's a story my parents retell and stuff.
Yeah, and you want to forget the part where you kill the cat.
Yeah, well, I didn't kill it. To be clear, I feel like I've really heavily, I suggested that I've killed the cat, and I feel like you're really running with this, Tom, as though I killed the cat. And I want you to know that I didn't kill a cat, and I would never kill a cat.
Well, I don't think you killed the cat. You just wished for the cat to die.
I think I did wish death upon the cat.
Yeah, I don't think you would kill the cat, Michael. I don't think you've got the balls.
Where's David?
No,
bring your cat, Tom. I'll kill your cat right now.
No, I'm sure that you were far too busy setting fires and wetting the bed to get around to killing that cat.
Do you not remember anything? Do you have any memories from when you were a 5-year-old psycho, Tom?
No, I don't remember anything. I feel like I started seeing a therapist recently, and she just was like, hey, I get the feeling that your life is a ceiling of unconnected, is just like a series of unconnected events. And I was like, yeah, isn't everyone's? And she was like, no. And I was like, oh, I should, that's bad, huh?
It's just, Tom, it seems like there are large periods of your life where you've dissociated from your reality.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is, Tom?
Yeah, it's
Why
cool, right? You can just stop being where you are. No.
Oh. I think 5 is like a time where there's like plenty of memories to remember from. So I don't know. Yeah, I'm sorry, Tom.
By 5 you're at school.
That? Okay, well let me check n.wikipedia.org/1994. I've already had Wikipedia open because I've got Andre the Seal's page open.
Have you not seen Andre the Seal? It's one of the greatest movies of all time.
Really?
In my honest opinion.
So great
opinion.
That... hang on. We probably need to calibrate your movie like rating system though, Danielle. Are you someone who generally likes quite bad films?
Yes. I don't really like good films. I only like bad films. A lot of good films to me, I watch and go like, not enough happened. This film, it starts with a little girl marrying a pigeon to a chicken. That is the ultimate opening scene to a movie.
She's officiating a wedding between a pigeon and a chicken.
Yes.
And watching this as a... Did you watch this as a child, I imagine? Oh, yeah, because you named
my dog Andre. Yeah, yes, I love this movie so much. And we had it on... Okay. We recorded it off the TV onto a VCR. But before that, so for me to watch it, Mum had previously recorded, like, a current affair or something from, like, one of our family friends had been murdered. And there was a 60 Minutes or a current affair report that my mum had taped... That was before Andre the Seal.
No. Did you taped over a documentary about a family friend's
No, I didn't tape over. It was after. So I'd have to watch that before I got to Andre the Seal.
What?
And my mum would sit there and cry. And for a while, I didn't know that it was a family friend who had died. I was just like, all right, here's a report about a person dying. And mum would cry. And then I'd be like, when's Andre going to start?
Do you think, Danielle, I had to do some armchair psychology here, but do you think maybe one of the reasons you love Andre the Seal so much as a film isn't necessarily because of the chicken and the pigeon getting married, but it's more that... Andre the Seal, the movie, beginning would coincide with your mother, like, ceasing crying?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. It's a great film. There's a lot happening. They bring a seal from a baby seal to an adult seal. It comes back every year. It's based off a true story. It's beautiful.
It does just seem like you're talking about the moment where your mum would stop being traumatized by remembering a past friend.
I mean, neither of you have seen the movie, so you can't judge it.
No, and I don't think it's... but I think you saw it in quite a specific context, and maybe...
I just think, Danielle, that basically any movie would seem really good if the thing you watched immediately prior to that film was a documentary about a family friend's murder that made your mother, who was in the room with you, weep with sadness. I think you could watch a documentary about something that fucked up and then watch, I don't know, like fucking Jurassic Park 2 or whatever, and then be like, no, that's a really good film, because it's not the thing that's traumatizing your beloved mother.
So do you think this is why I love bad films now?
I don't want to extrapolate that much. I don't know. Maybe you've got a taste for poorly shot and out of focus films now, and this is carried through. I don't know, Danielle, but it just does seem to me that you're quite vociferously defending that this has nothing to do with that, and this is.
I think it's a piece of art that everybody should watch, and I deny any association between the murder report influencing the way I felt about Andre the Seal at all.
I mean, if anything, that's worse.
Yeah, if you were just completely not affected by it at all.
You forget that I spent a lot of my childhood hunting pigs with my granddad.
Yeah, gotcha.
You forget that I saw my granddad shoot pigs, and then I helped him drag the carcass onto the back of a truck and then helped him gut the pigs. I think you're forgetting part of it. Maybe.
Hey, what happened to the family friend who died? Were they buried with or sans guts? Were they dragged onto a truck at any point during the process?
It just feels like
without bits of part of them that were shot out.
Oh my goodness, that's so fucking crazy, Danielle.
Having your opening act for the movie.
Be the most intense and sad thing that you could possibly imagine. And you're like, oh, no, I like this chicken and this pigeon getting married. What the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, sure, once I found out it was a family friend and understood it, then it was a bit harder to watch.
All right, well, let's swiftly move on from psychoanalyzing Danielle's childhood. Unless you want to write a reply, unless you want to defend yourself anymore, Danielle.
No, I'll go back and watch Andre the Seal again and see what I think.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Okay. Because one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the poddo is because we had dinner the other night, Danielle, and you were telling me about a restaurant you went to that had one of the best menus ever.
Yeah, it was called Lazy Mo's, and we found it. Me and my boyfriend, we were on anniversary weekend, and mm-hmm. we wanted to go to this restaurant. And to get to the food menus, you had to first take the Mo test, and then you could access the rules for Lazy Mo's, and then you could see all the menus. So I thought, maybe we could start by taking the Mo test to find out if you're
Lazy
Mo.
Well, hang on, can you just set the scene? Where is this restaurant, and what does it look like when you drive up to it? Because this obviously there's a lot going on here, but I just really want people to imagine where we are.
So this one was in Bendigo. And uh-huh. I think from the outside, it sort of looked like a grey house, but it had a big sign that said Lazy Mo's up on the roof.
Great, okay.
And it's sort of
and
like...
And Bendigo's like, it's an old gold mining town that's like, what, 2 hours or 3 hours out of Melbourne, something like that?
Yeah, something like that. It just had a sign that looked really shit. And we either like fine dining or horrific dining. And so that's why we decided to go to Lazy Mo's. It was also like the only thing that was open that wasn't like McDonald's at the time of the morning we were up. Mm-hmm. And so we decided to go there. And when we got there, nobody else was there, but there were about 150 tables inside.
Wow. Okay, so and then there's a test you've got to do? What is the purpose of the test? What do you mean there's a test?
Just to find out, you can take the Mo test just to find out if you're a Lazy Mo or not.
Okay.
It's pretty straightforward here. Mm. I don't know.
Tom, do you want to do the Mo test with me?
Sure.
Okay, number one, do you pick food off other people's plates without asking?
Yes.
No.
Okay, mark down your scores, please.
Okay.
Do you double dip?
Yes.
No. Okay.
Do you surf through every channel on the TV constantly when you have the remote?
What? Hang on.
I do the modern equivalent of that, yes.
Yeah, I do that as well. But that doesn't seem relevant. I feel like we've taken a wild turn away from... The first two, at least, are about food, which makes sense at a restaurant. The television question is confusing, but go on.
Well, this next question is going to be more confusing then. Do you pick your nose while you're driving?
I'll make my answer off the podcast.
I have been known to do this, yes.
Okay, so Hing's at 2, Tom is at 4.
I don't see how you would assume such a thing from a man's right to privacy.
Do you ignore private number on your mobile phone?
Yeah, every day.
What? What is this? What the? I do, yes. Because often it's people who, it's often people I don't want to talk to who call me from private numbers.
3 and 5. Okay. Do you say, oh, I wish I had a got that when the person sitting next to you gets their meal?
No, I do not. Okay, so now we're back to restaurants.
Back to restaurants.
This is all over the place.
All right. I'm marking mine down, by the way, Danielle. I'm tallying. Okay. If you want to just...
Yeah, I am as well, Danielle.
Okay, perfect. Is your partner a gonna do this, gonna do that?
Mm. Interesting. Okay.
Oh, is your partner a... No. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Are you always in the powder room when it's time to do the dishes?
What?
Substituting the powder room
what does
for
that mean?
Places Toilet that are
bathroom.
Away?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. Right.
Are you checking in right now?
What does that mean?
I don't know.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Understand what that means, but I'm going to assume that I am.
Yeah, I mean, well, Tom, actually, out of the two of us, you're probably more likely to be checked out on account of your constant dissociation from life.
Oh, I thought you were calling me attractive and saying that people were looking at me and that was a hard fall to make.
Are you crying?
No,
are you crying, Tom?
I'm not feeling anything. Tom's not here, man.
The Tom Walker, you know, is dead. Say hello to Mo Walker. Okay, sorry, keep going, Danielle.
Are you the one person out of a big group who always whinges about the food or the price?
Huh.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think I am. I think I generally have like a dog's satisfaction with the food that I'm presented with. Just happy to be there.
That's nice. Okay, are you in the hospitality industry? Yeah, well, I guess you can do it better, right?
Well, okay, that's the tone of that question really has belies something that's happened, like a real experience this person has had. I have been in the hospitality industry before. I've worked as a bartender, but I don't anymore. So I guess I'm no.
So you don't think you could do it better?
Well, I don't know what it is. Are they suggesting
Danielle,
that like
this guy thinks he can do it better?
I think that's a yes from Hing.
He's been criticizing the quiz the whole time.
Yeah, you didn't.
I mean, could I write a better quiz than this? Probably. I think I could.
Yeah, but you don't even know what a mo is yet, okay?
That's
so
true.
How are you
going
to write a test for a thing you don't even know what it is?
That's true.
Okay,
that's true.
Last question on the quiz. Do you look at this and say, that's not me? Well, think again. It's not really
Hang on, what?
Actually.
I love that this quiz has the final question on it is one of those people at a fucking writers festival or whatever that's like, this is more of a comment than a question.
Yeah, so I don't really know how to take it, but so if you said yes to these, this is your score. So if you got between 1 and 5, you are a liar. If you got between 6 and 9, keep trying. You were almost there. If you got between 10 and 12, congratulations, you are a mo.
Okay, well, I'm a liar. Tom, where are you at?
I am a mo.
Congratulations.
Okay, so this is...
Thank you.
So just to bring people back around, this is a quiz that's on the menu of an empty restaurant with 100 tables and chairs that Danielle and her boyfriend, Jonna, are the only people in.
Yes.
Great.
Also, this is a place where it is quantity over quality for food.
Right, okay, so it's shit food, but you get, like, a lot of
like,
it. Okay.
So much you can't eat it. You can't
and
eat it.
When the waiter or the server who was there with you, did they explain the quiz to you at all? Did you ask about it? Did anyone mention the quiz?
I would say the waiters and staff there did not want to be in a conversation with you. I would say that they have taken the Mo test before they were given the job and they all rated 12.
What?
Right, okay.
Where is this again? Bendigo, did you say?
Bendigo,
but there's a fair few around Melbourne because we've been on the lookout. There's about five of them. If you go on the website, you can find a lot of information about the guy who started Lazy Mo's. He's had a career of starting restaurants. Lazy Mo's is the first one to take off. And by take off, you know, I am also saying we were the only people there.
Uh-huh.
I think the first line of the about section on the website was like, my name is actually Joe, not Mo, and I'm actually not lazy.
Why did you call the restaurant Lazy Mo? Do you think it's like Mo was like his like enemy? And he like maybe it was his brother he had a falling out with? And so he's named the restaurant after his lazy brother. But do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like an attack.
I mean, that's a very funny attack also, especially if it's the only restaurant that you've been able to keep alive and it's the name of your brother that you wanted to spite.
Sure.
I'm looking at the Google reviews now. If I could give a zero, I would. This is a review posted 2 years ago. A few weeks ago, I had a burger at Lazy Mo's in Bendigo, and there was a large bone in my burger and a strong oily taste which turned me off my food. This morning, I went and tried the waffles. They were completely inedible. They were so burnt and hard that I could not cut them at all.
Why did he go back?
I don't know.
That's on him. I'm with Lazy Mo on that.
Yeah, they've worked out that they don't like you there. They're going to keep serving you that stuff.
It's just a burger bone. I've just found the Lazy Mo's website, lazymos.com.au, and Danielle, you're slightly... You've left out a little bit of information from the About section. So the actual opening line of the About section, it's about Mo, and it reads, "Those of you that have been on another planet for a while may know me as Joe. Well, I have a news flash. I am now Mo. For everyone else that's just dying to know how I went from Joe to Mo, here's a story about how it all began."
Oh, my God.
It's then the longest story in the world, by the way. It's like pages and pages and pages.
There's a review here that accuses the manager of hiding when people were ready to pay so they couldn't complain about the food.
Fuck. Okay, wait. So you know how Mo is actually Joe, right?
Yes.
And they changed their name from Joe to Mo. Well, this is the next sentence. "Starting even further back, I am... a gentleman by the name of Michael Guida." Michael was born in 1967 and ironically does not have a lazy bone in his body. He was a hard-working young man who started out his first business in a panel shop called M&N Panel Works in East Kilora in 1984. So, hang on. Okay, back up. You know him as Joe, but Joe is gone. Now he's Mo, but Joe used to be Michael Guida. There's a review here
that is one star, and it just says the words "never again."
I've also found
incredible
because obviously before Lazy Mo's, they had a bunch of other restaurants. One was called Smoke and Joe's Cafe, Mooney Ponds. Another was called Spags. Another was called Carlito's Pizza, and my favorite, Woggy's Pizza.
Sorry, what?
Woggy's Pizza.
Oh, that's crazy. That's real crazy.
Lazy Mo's makes.
And there was also a place called... Did you say there's a place called Spags?
Yeah, they had a place called... Spags. Spags, yeah.
Wow.
It was. They've had a bunch of different ones. I like this bit. So in 1998, Michael opened up Smoke and Joe's Cafe Mooney Ponds. That day, something Melbourne knows and grew to love was founded. The biggest meals and best loving service in town was introduced to the hospitality industry. Michael had found his feet and opened up Cousin Joe's two doors down. You can't open up another one two doors down. That's absolutely psycho.
That's just the same restaurant, but with like a pause in between.
Yeah.
So it's just...
Smoke and Joe's.
So it's a restaurant two doors
Cousin
out. It's competing
Joe's.
With his own restaurant.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes, I mean, look, if you're opening two restaurants up on the same street, you're definitely not lazy. So what... Did you say there was There was rules as well,
yes.
Danielle?
Yes, so there are terms and conditions of eating
Wait,
at Lazy
Tom, what are you guffawing at, Tom?
So I found... this is a review from 2nd of October 2017. "Please take care when sitting as the seats scoot across the highly polished wood floor. Don't grab the table to support you as it slides as well. I ordered the fish and quinoa salad. The two pieces of fish were micro thin and were not cooked through." So the fish is somehow paper thin but also not cooked. "I had raw fish and some parts that were cooked were very spongy. The fish was laid on my salad, which was black. Not burnt, but black. The red onion was black, as were the other vegetables. I tried to eat some, but gave up as it was so vile to look at and eat. The waitress agreed with my view of the meal, but I heard no more, and I was given no discount."
She's like, "Yeah, man, it sucks to be you."
Yeah. No, yeah,
this
totally,
restaurant
I get
sucks.
It.
Man, I'd hate to eat here.
Yeah, I would be mad paying full price for this, which is what you're doing, by the way.
This is the type of restaurant I would love to see Gordon Ramsay go to, because you know,
oh, sure.
You know that this owner is psycho, and he would have an argument.
Well, you've got to know if Mo or Joe is in that day.
That is true.
Or Michael. Danielle, was there were some rules as well?
Yeah, so there's the terms and conditions of eating at Lazy Mo's, which is, I don't know if you can see, it's this long, which I've just shown in the chat.
I've got it open here as well. Terms and conditions of eating at Lazy Mo's. Can you run through them for us?
Leave all bad moods at the door and pick them up on your way out if you need to.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Do you understand plain English? We do not split bills, okay? And for those of you who don't understand, here it is in a few more languages. And then there's a bunch of different languages. Help.
There's like French, I think Greek maybe. I think there's, yeah, wow. So like, that's so funny. This is such an aggressive series of rules at Lazy Mo's.
Yeah, they're big time. I just want to know when he was. He obviously wrote this in like after 2 weeks of complaints and being like, no more. If any of these things happen, no complaining ever. Do not complain. The customer is not right.
The customer's wrong.
And also, it feels like it was written. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but what it feels like this was written in one go and not edited, because halfway through, he uses the phrase "last but not least," and then there's double the amount of prose again until the rules are over.
So,
and another thing, energy.
You know that You know that anecdote about Allen Ginsberg or whatever? I think it was, or was it Jack Kerouac? I think it was Jack Kerouac writing On the Road. And he, back in the day where people had to change like individual sheets of paper in a typewriter, Jack Kerouac just like stapled or like glued together like 100 sheets of paper so he could just like stream of consciousness write On the Road. I feel like that's what this guy's done. He's just gone for broke. He's like, yeah, I'm just going to keep typing. And no, I'm not going to stop for anything, you know?
And then just giving it to a graphic designer to put in a stick bubble.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need you to make this look like I am completely insane.
Hello, you're in my house now, so I'll tell you where you're sitting and don't be rearranging my furniture. There is a meaning behind please wait to be seated. If you read between the lines, it really means I, Mo, don't want you walking in like you own the joint. Sit where you want and complain about bad service because we don't know where you sat yourselves.
It's like there's the third rule he begins with hello, which is very funny. Like, leave all bad bits at the door. We don't split bills. Hello, you're in my house now. Oh, my goodness. It's so crazy. All right, keep going, Danielle. This is so funny.
By the way, Mo is not responsible for any bad punctuation or misspelled words. If you are concerned, fine 40 cents and you can tell someone who cares.
Okay, so it hasn't been updated in a while, huh?
No.
So that is, the 40 cents was, I think, in a while ago, was the price of a local phone call. Good stuff from Mo. A good setup punchline. Okay, cool.
Last but not least, have a grass night.
All right, well, like Tom said, that must be the end of it. Oh, I assume that's the end of the rules?
No. Oh, and please push your chairs in before you leave. There is only one thing left to do. Remember your table number when paying. There's only one thing left to do. That should be the end. But again, no, this is not the end. By the way, if you are in hospitality, keep it to yourself because I really don't care. I only have patience. I only have patience for legitimate complaints, not people who think they know everything.
What is that?
You think you can do it better, go open your own place. Or if you already have your own place, stay there.
Oh,
any questions?
What would a customer with a legitimate complaint instead? Because I assume there's a different. That's the difference between a legitimate complaint is saying, "Hey, just so you know, you've served me a completely black red onion," and then if you would think you know better, if you're like, "Hey, just so you know, you've served me a completely black red onion," could I have some fresh produce? And presumably, then Mo would go like, "Oh, Mr. Ramsay knows what to put in his salad, does he?"
Fuck. Oh,
or he's
man.
Hiding we have as well.
Oh, yeah.
Wait. There's one last thing, Danielle.
Yes.
There's one last. There's still more on this fucking menu, on this fucking rules list.
Yes. If you don't accept our terms and conditions, or you have a different opinion of what works, make Mo an offer. Money talks, bullshit walks.
So he's like, if you don't like this restaurant, your options are either to shut the fuck up or buy my restaurant.
Yes.
I and dare
look,
you.
Just so you know, when you buy my restaurant, you're also buying the many lawsuits that are currently being funded against my restaurant.
Mo has committed many crimes. In the character of Mo, the character of Mo has been connected with the disappearance of several young women from truck stops in rural Queensland.
That's so fucking crazy. So what? You went? How was the food when you went there, Danielle? You said it was quantity over quality. Did you get ill or anything?
We didn't get ill, but like it was. I mean, we went for breakfast, which I think is like the easiest meal.
It's the safest
meal. Because you just get eggs and shit. My partner, though, he did order a big... he ordered a milkshake. And then what came was like a 2-litre milkshake that he couldn't finish because it was 2 litres of ice cream and milk.
So much.
It was so big. And
Jono's like such a tall guy.
Yeah.
Like I could imagine that if anyone was gonna be able to drink a big milkshake, he'd be in the category of people who loves a big milkshake, you know?
Yeah.
But 2 liters that's an absurd amount of milkshake to serve any man.
And you know, right in the morning too, on a fresh belly, you can't be drinking 2 liters of milk. He didn't even finish his meal. He ordered the big breakfast. We didn't know it was gonna be that big. You know, it's like big, but not good.
Did he feel a sense of disappointment in not being able to finish it? Like, is he a man? Is Jono a man who is like challenged by food, or does he have like sufficient restraint to know when he's been bested by food?
I think at that point, this was a few years ago. I think at that point, he'd never had a meal that he couldn't finish. You know, I think this might have been on a learning curve for him.
Right, sure. This is a teachable moment. Lacey Mo's was a real moment of personal awakening for Jono as he realised that, wow, sometimes a milkshake is too big.
This is so incredible.
Also, I don't understand why they can't, you know, I understand why they're spending so much on food as well and why they've got salad that's going off and fish that's too thin because they're trying to put too much on your plate, you know,
and
people don't need that much.
It feels like they're one of those places that have quite a wide menu, but then the dishes that they're supplying are so large in volume that they are, like, oversupplied for... I mean, there's one review here that just says, I ended up ordering some pancakes. My pancakes were actually just one pancake with 2 or 3 litres of ice cream dumped on top.
I think they might have some sort of ice cream milk deal or something.
Yeah. That's so fucking... when you said you found other instances of this restaurant, is it just in Bendigo or
No, there are others as well. I've got a list. I'll bring up the list of where the others are. Because there are a few others. There was one that was near our old... another house that we found in Melbourne, and we were going to go there because one of our dreams is to visit all the Lazy Mo's.
Oh my god, that's so romantic.
Of course.
So there's one in Tullamarine, one in...
That's right near the airport, isn't it?
Yeah, in Melbourne. One in, I can never say this word, Maribyrnong.
Maribyrnong.
One in Oakley, one in Bendigo, one in Caroline Springs, one in Melton, and one in Ballarat. And Mo could be in your suburb soon.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So there's 7 or 8 of these gargantuan psycho restaurants around the Melbourne area.
Yeah, there's
fuck,
seven.
We have to go to one of these. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that'll oh my god, that'll be a dream come true.
Yeah,
yeah, maybe are you looking... maybe once we can travel again, we can just fly
in, go to the Tullamarine one, fly back out.
Yeah, exactly. We'll do a FIFO Lazy Mars.
Yeah, we got to be careful,
though.
Ruin the
airport toilet.
We got to be careful, though, that we're not going to the one where Jono's planning to propose to Danielle, you know. Hiding a wedding ring in the midst of her 5 litres of ice cream. Like, looking for a needle in a haystack.
The three of us could go to one of these and do a little like follow-up podcast from one of these because I didn't see anywhere in the rules where it was like no recording equipment and no podcasts.
No, I don't think they've been rewritten since podcasts became available.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you both so much for taking times out of your busy mornings to appear on Free to a Good Home, the internet's only funny podcast. Danielle, have you got some stuff coming up that you want to tell people about?
No.
All right. Fair
I
enough.
I don't think so. My brain's not working right now. Sorry. I'll message you if there is.
Are you still doing the Bachelor podcast as well?
Oh, yes, we're rebranding. I'll put that out in a moment. I'll put that out soon in the next few days. And then I'll message you.
So, well, yeah, this is probably not coming out immediately, so you can probably plug that on here.
I think we're gonna call it Y2K Scrags. I think that's going to be the new name for the pod.
Is it still a Bachelor Recap podcast?
Me and Naomi are having a small argument about Y2K Scrags. because I'm not 100% sure on Scrags, but Naomi's pretty adamant about Scrags.
What is Scrags?
Scrags is like, it's like 2000 slang for like a dirty slut.
What fucking cyberpunk bullshit is that? She sounds like she's out of Red Dwarf.
I don't know.
I've never heard that.
Why?
You've never heard of Scrags? I think it's like a country thing. Uh-huh. You call somebody Scrag.
Okay. So why are you rebranding the podcast away from like a successful Bachelor recap thing towards talking about, I don't know, the Millennium Bug and also slang from the 2000s?
So we're sort of sick of talking about The Bachelor and stuff. So we figured we would go to the 2000s and recap 2000s reality TV.
All the
good shit that happened back then before rules were in place.
Because
we had everybody liked when we did that children's show in the desert, whatever that was called. Because they had kids killing chickens and goats and shit. That was crazy.
Yeah. All right, so everyone go and look at Danielle's soon-to-be-rebranded podcast. It could be called Y2K Scrags. It might be called something else.
This is the worst plug I've ever heard. So follow Danielle on Twitter at Dan Walker Comedy. Just fucking hell. She's so good. Yeah, everyone look out for Y2K Scrags. And follow Danielle on Instagram to see if she wins the argument and the podcast isn't called that.
And Tom, people can see you getting buried on Demi Lardner's Twitch stream this Sunday from midday Australian Eastern Standard Time. Do you have anything else you want to let people know about?
Yeah, I've got my own Twitch stream. It's twitch.tv/TomWalker, and I've got some merch for it. And me and Demi have a podcast called BigSoftTitty.png that is, I mean, it's genuinely so fucking stupid, but maybe you'll like it.
It's the most upsetting podcast experience I've had post podcast, I think.
Really? Why?
Yeah, I meant doing the podcast and then having your fucking fucking little gremlin fans come up and abuse me on the street. Not abuse me, but yell at me on the street. We've talked about this. Didn't we talk about this on this podcast?
Yeah, we talked about this on this podcast.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, yeah. anyway, if you listen to Big Soft Titty, you're banned from this show. No, you don't. All right, thanks for doing this, Poto, and thanks for listening. Rate and review it, etc. Ben will be back next week. We'll see you later. Bye.
If you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain.